It's Monday night and time to talk football. Welcome to the High School Football Report, presented by Cass Birch Automotive. Now, here's your host, Chris Beckham.
Broadcasting live from the Citizens Community Bank Studios on this Monday night. This is the High School Football Report, presented by Cass Birch Automotive. I'm Chris Beckham. Thanks for joining us on this Monday. Bit of a muggy Monday. That means football season must right be around, right? Spring football, just a couple of weeks away. We'll talk a little bit about that coming up later on. Also, coming up 1 week from this weekend is going to be the National Football League draft. And as always, there's some South Georgia flavor that we're going to talk about. Some of the players, including the main player from this area who is getting a lot of NFL attention, Josh Harvey Clemens, the former Lions Viking, former Georgia Bulldog, former Louisville Cardinal, who is now attempting to get a shot to play in the NFL. We'll have our draft expert, Jimmy Espy, on later on to talk about the chances for Josh Harvey Clemens and also some other guys from South Georgia and also some guys from the universities in this area and also our Atlanta Falcons. What may the Falcons do in the draft? We will pose all of these questions to Jimmy Espy coming up. Also coming up, some interesting decisions made by the NCAA in regards to recruiting and early signing period. Now, that has not been voted on yet, but some other things have been decided. We'll talk a little bit about that coming up later on as well. And then joining us right after our first break, Randy Travis is with Fox 5 Atlanta News. He's an investigative reporter, and he has been reporting a lot on the proposal by the Georgia High School Association, which was made public last week during their meeting, to change how transfers, athletic transfers, are handled in the state of Georgia. And, of course, this comes after the legislative session, which some legislators proposed the idea of setting up their own high school organization and disbanding the GHSA. This comes after the resignation of Gary Phillips, the head of the Georgia High School Association. And this also comes after the state championship won by the Grayson Rams after several players, including five senior blue chippers, transferred into that program last summer. And so the culmination of all of that has been this proposal, which has been put up now by the GHSA. It has not been voted on as of yet. It probably will be during the month of May. Randy's going to join us and tell us exactly what that's all about. So lots coming up. Glad that you are with us. Always a reminder, you can follow us on Facebook at the High School Football Report on Facebook, and you can follow us on Twitter at HSF Report on Twitter. You can check out with us there. We post stuff live throughout the week almost daily, so check us out there. Take a quick break. Come right back. Randy Travis from Atlanta will be joining us right after this as we broadcast live from the Citizens Community Bank Studios. This is the High School Football Report presented by Cass Birch Automotive. More right after this.
Now, more of the High School Football Report, presented by Cass Birch Automotive. Here's Chris Beckham.
All right, back inside the Citizens Community Bank Studios on this Monday night. This is the High School Football Report, presented by Cass Birch Automotive. I want to remind you that all of our shows are available via podcast. You can go to ViolastaToday.com/High School Football Report, and we have our last 3 weeks' worth of shows up there. This show that you're listening to now will be podcast about 30 minutes after its completion at 7 tonight. So share that with your friends. If you happen to miss part of it, you can always go back and listen to it via our podcast. We're very glad to have with us tonight Randy Travis, who is an investigative reporter with Fox 5 News out of Atlanta. First of all, Randy, welcome to the show. Thanks for being here.
Hey, Chris. Thanks for having me.
We appreciate it a lot. You've been, of course, Randy does a broad variety of work on Fox 5, including some stories he has done over the last few months on transfers in the state of Georgia and the Georgia High School Association. And, of course, last week the GHSA proposed a new rule in regards to the transfers. And we'll, Randy, we'll talk to you about that. But basically the rule says if you transfer for, quote-unquote, athletic purposes, you would have to sit out for half of that season. Now, first of all, this all comes, I know, in the wake of last year, and everybody knows what happened at Grayson High School. And do you believe that was the impetus for this this legislation?
I really do. I do. I think that GHSA had been getting complaints for years about kids transferring for athletic purposes or being recruited into programs, not supposed to be, they'll do that. That's against the rules as well. Or even kids who live in one district, but, say they live in the other district and play for that school. But what happened in Grayson last summer, I think just caused all this to come to a head, when I think there were five blue chip college prospects all got together and in essence, they said they were taking their talents to South Beach. They're going to take their talents to Grayson and win a championship. And GHSA got so many complaints about it. They sent an investigator up there to Gwinnett County to find out whether these kids were really living there, because that would be a violation if they weren't. And they spent weeks looking, could find no rule, no evidence of rules being broken. And so then they kind of decided, well, maybe it's the rules themselves that need to be fixed. And that's why they come up with this transfer rule.
Yeah, and it seems like the blatant way in which some of the students did it is probably what really got a lot of people riled up. And also the fact that, like you said, in the case of Kurt Taylor, which has been, I guess, the most noteworthy because he, his parents rented an apartment in Grayson, left in September because they didn't pay the rent, basically moved back to Newton. He transferred back to Newton, had Jim Harbaugh visiting his house and all this. So it was just the very essence of what they're talking about. Yeah, if you go in August to see if they moved, well, yeah, they did have an apartment there. But we all know it was kind of a sham, to be honest with you. So,
and what a lot of people don't know is that schools can't make the surprise inspection. They have to literally call the parent and say, we want to come over and check this address. Is tonight a good night for you? And then the parent can say, yeah, come on over. Or they can say, this is not a good night for me. Come over in 2 days. And the reason, there's logic behind that.
Sure.
It's because they don't want to be in a position where they're showing up at someone's home and there's not an adult there.
Right.
There's only a minor. And so they don't want to be put in that kind of situation. So they have to call. And there's a chance, there's some room there for someone, if they really are trying to pull a fast one, to go out and buy a bunch of groceries or, make it look like
right.
they were living there. They really weren't.
So before we get further, the proposal by the GHSA, it was tabled. It is expected to be voted on, I guess, at the May meeting. Is that correct?
Right. This was just a discussion session last Sunday, a week ago Sunday, down in Macon. The eligibility committee met and presented formally their proposals. And then in May, when they get together they have to get together because they have to find a replacement for retiring executive director Gary Phillips. When they get together for that, they're expected to vote on this proposal.
For the people who I've spoken with, Randy, and again, Randy Travis from Fox 5 Atlanta News joining us tonight on the High School Football Report. Randy, the people who I've spoken with, when they talked about this, they say, hey, it's a good sign that the GHSA is trying to do something, but why only a half a year? If they are indeed guilty of doing this, well, basically you're saying for most schools, I would say, you're going to be having them set out the non-region schedule, but still they get to play the quote-unquote more important games. Have you heard that as well?
And they get to practice. They get to practice also.
Yeah.
That's part of this, that you don't have to sit out. You can continue to practice, just not play those five games, in essence, if it's football. Yeah, I talked to so many ADs and principals down there, and throughout the course of this investigation, not just for Grayson, but we did also an investigation earlier on Alatoona High School in Ackworth, where we caught some kids living in a different county, and they were instrumental in that championship team. But they wanted to figure out what is the minimum punishment they can put in place that would still have a chilling effect on the rampant amount of transfers that are going on. And they thought they would start with half a season, and they would start with letting you still practice. And if that doesn't seem to really do anything, they would come back and revisit the suspension limit. But if you think about it, you've probably gone over this with your audience, but the rules are very, I think, well crafted in order to have a chilling effect, because the family, first of all, there has to be a bona fide move into the new school district. They call that the receiving school. And the receiving school has to confirm that's a bona fide move. The whole family has to move with the player. Once the school confirms that, then they alert the sending school, the original school, and they can ask the sending school to waive
right.
the half-season punishment. So the control is in the school where the kid was originally playing, and that's the school that would know more than anybody what his or her circumstances are. And GHSA thinks that 95% of transfers would be waived. You could go from one school to another sure. because, you know, mom got another job or, you know, perhaps yeah. a divorce, there's a death in the family, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But if the school, if the sending school says, nope, you know, we think this is for an athletic purpose, then the receiving school is responsible for appealing on behalf of the kid before a nonpartisan board of some sort. And if they fail there, well, then the family can just sit out the half a season, or I guess they could, you know, they can move on back to the original school where they were.
And I remember, Randy, a story that you did, and I want to say it was sometime last year, and I apologize if I get it wrong, but I want to say it was with a coach at Jones County who was talking about transfers. And he said, you know, yeah, we wouldn't have a problem signing off on a kid who's moving, but I know, this time he was talking about some players who had moved into Bibb County schools, and he said, but I know that there are a few who absolutely are still living here in Jones County and have not made a move over there, and yeah, I would veto those moves. So, I mean, there are some, but I think for the most part, like you said, the sending school, the school where these kids are coming from, they wouldn't hold it against these kids if it was a legitimate move.
Yeah, that was Barry Veal. He's the athletic director down in Jones County. A great guy. And, they're frustrated because they know, but they can't, you know, GHSA is not set up to be investigators, private investigators, or even kind of investigations that I do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they don't have time to sit there and what we watched, when we were doing our Allatoona investigation, we watched for weeks at a house where these kids were not supposed to be living, to confirm that they were living there.
Wow.
And I don't know if they've got the resources to do that. Now, they did put a line item in the budget this year, GHSA did, $25,000 to hire private investigators to chase down those tips where people are trying to pull a fast one and live in one county but play in another county.
Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting because what they really wanted to do, Chris, is they wanted to make sure I publicized that. They said, please let people know we're going to hire a private investigator, because they really want these parents to think twice about moving their kid for an athletic purpose.
And that's one of the things that I've said long before this with a lot of things with the GHSA, and I've not always agreed with them on everything. However, I do think they get a bit of a bum rap because they're placed a lot of blame at their feet for things that are just tough situations to deal with. And, you know, I've talked with my friend Steve Figueroa and all the folks up there, but they don't really have an enforcement arm. I mean, to a degree, they're all the complaints, and I cannot imagine the number that they get just on transfers. But they really don't have a way, like you said, to go and investigate them all. I mean, they're just not set up like that. So, and I have no idea what a PI goes for. I don't know if $25,000 is going to get them a lot of help or a little help or whatever. But at least, like you said, it's a sign that, hey, we're trying to do something.
They told me Alabama has $100,000 budgeted for a 4-person investigative team. That's all they do in Alabama. Now, I don't know if Alabama's program's any cleaner than what we have here in Georgia. I've never investigated that. Maybe you know, but they sunk a lot of money into their investigators there in Alabama.
Well, we all know they cheat more in Alabama than we do. So I guess. No, I'm just kidding. Just all my Alabama friends, I'm just kidding. So, one of the telling things, again, about this, Randy, when I was watching the state championship game, and after Grayson won the state championship, and our old friend Jeff Heron was being interviewed by a television reporter, and he said, this has been one of the toughest years I've ever had as a coach. And that was such a strange thing to come out of the mouth of a guy who just won a state championship, not overjoyed and not jubilant. I mean, he was happy that they had won, but it just seemed like it was such a relief that, God, I'm glad this is over. And I think that's kind of maybe the part of this whole recruiting thing that we don't see is when you got to be dealing with egos and families who say, hey, my kid's coming. There's got to be a lot of, you know, chemistry that's broken down, I would imagine, when you've got the kind of situation they had at Grayson this year.
Yeah, and, you know, I've heard from a lot of parents who are upset with this transfer proposal, that they feel that it's their right to move their child from an inferior program to a superior program, just like you might if you wanted to move your child from an inferior academic program
mm-hmm.
to one where your child can, you know, learn and be able to go to college.
Right.
But you know, they say that, you know, the kid can't get noticed because the coach is, you know, running the wrong program. He's running a spread when he should run a pro, and or because he just came in, or they're being mean to their kid, or whatever the reason is. And that's why they have to move, because they want their kids to get college scholarships. And if that were the case, I could, you know, I can see that, because you love your children and you want what's best for them.
Sure.
But I don't think Grayson, the situation in Grayson, is a good example of that.
No, it's not.
Because all of those kids had multiple Division I offers. In fact, you know, Kurt Taylor, the fellow that we did the story about, who played one semester, won a state championship, and then went around back, he already had committed to Michigan. I mean, I know you can't officially sign until signing day, February after, of your senior year, but they all had, I mean, you know, Jamias Williams had offers all over the place. He went to South Carolina. They all have gone on to great schools. They did not need to go to Grayson to be seen. In fact, you could make the opposite argument.
Thank you.
That because there are so many, you know, all those kids transferred to Grayson, that the kids who had gone through the system for, you know, since the seventh grade or eighth grade, and their parents had sold Cokes at the stadium and put in their volunteer hours over and over and over again, waiting until their kid could be a senior and finally play, didn't get a play.
Yep.
Or didn't get to play very much because you had all these really, you know, good, great players come in. So, you know, I don't quite buy that argument. I also, you know this probably, of course you do, that, you know, if you're a good player in this state, in Georgia, where recruiters are here constantly from colleges around the country, you're going to be seen.
Yeah.
I was a sports writer before I became a TV reporter. I was in Athens growing up, went to college at Georgia, and got a job with the Athens Banner-Herald covering sports. And I cover Herschel. I mean, if you want, you know, two words will say that you can be discovered in a tiny little school in Georgia, and that's Herschel Walker. You know, I mean, and that was way before the internet.
Yeah, pre-internet, pre-tapes, pre-huddle, all that stuff. Yeah,
they found him somehow. Now, he's a big guy, and it was pretty easy to find, probably. I mean, but still, you know, if you got talent, you're gonna be found by colleges, no matter where you play in Georgia.
Exactly. In this day and the internet, with Huddle and all these other devices that the coaches have, I mean, yeah, you're going to be see if you're good, you'll get a chance to play, and that's in any sport. This I think is the culmination of a lot of different things, and again, I know you'll keep on top of it. Again, they're going to be meeting in May to go over this. I would assume that this is going to pass. I would imagine, because I cannot imagine the backlash, to be honest with you, if it does not pass. I think the GHSA, and I really think Gary Phillips, who I don't know personally, I wouldn't know if he walked in the room. I think he kind of got caught up in a crossfire in this and was forced to step down to kind of, you know, appease the Georgia legislature when, you know, he didn't have any really hand in this, although the GHSA is, as I know, been kind of attacked, I guess, for not doing something. It sounds like they are finally doing something now. We'll see how it works out.
We'll be on top of it in May, and we'll be reporting what happens.
Again, follow Randy on Twitter. It's a great way to keep up with all the things he reports on this and other stories at Randy Travis Fox 5 on Twitter. And you can see him there and follow it, all the great stories. And, Randy, you've done a heck of a job covering this. And for our football fans down here in South Georgia, we really do appreciate it and appreciate your time tonight.
I enjoyed it. Thanks, Chris.
Thanks, Randy. Again, Randy Travis Fox 5 out of Atlanta has done a very good job in following this. And, again, it is a touchy subject. It's And that's what I've heard, and I'm glad he addressed that, because if you make somebody, and again, this is a little bit of a different thing. If a player moves and makes a legitimate move, still though, they've got to prove it was not for quote unquote athletic purposes. Now, who's going to determine that? Well, somebody at the GHSA will determine that. That means even if you make a legitimate move, if you sell your house and you move to another home in that district, for, you know, but nobody got another job, nobody died. No, if he's just to play for that school, that's going to be for athletic purposes. And you'll have to sit out half of the year. That's going to make a lot of people rethink a lot of things. And I think they should. So, you know, whether or not you sit out a whole year, we'll wait and see where it goes. I think they're going to start off with this half year, as Randy said. And I do think sitting out a half year, even though they say, well, you're still going to be able to play in the playoffs and then play in region games, you're still going to think twice about, hey, this is my, for a lot of these, not everybody, but for a lot of these athletes, their senior year, and I've got to sit out five games, even though you'll be able to practice for on Friday nights when college coaches are out here watching, I'm going to have to sit out. And then I think there's also that, not that college coaches, I think, put a whole lot into it, but you kind of flagged as a guy who simply made the move for athletic purposes, you know, maybe a college coach says, yeah, maybe we steer clear of that guy. I think it will deter some players from moving, not all. And we'll wait and see where it goes from there. We appreciate Randy's time tonight. 229-241-1059 is our number on the hotline. We'll take a brief break. Come right back. We got more of the High School Football Report broadcasting live from the Citizens Community Bank Studios and brought to you by Cass Birch Automotive. And we'll have more right after this.
And now, more of the High School Football Report, presented by Cass Birch Automotive. Here's Chris Beckham.
Back broadcasting live from the Citizens Community Bank Studios on this Monday night. It is the Cass Birch Automotive High School Football Report. Y'all stop by and see all my friends at Cass Birch Automotive. Fantastic deals going down right now. I'll tell you what, graduation is coming up. Oh, what a graduation present. It would be the 2017 Ram 1500. Man, all kinds of offers that are going to be ending on May 1st. Go by the website, CassBirch.com. You'll find out what I'm talking about in the everything from the Chrysler 200s, the Pacificas, the hybrids. They've got them all over the place. You can find a great deal for you today at Cass Birch, at Chrysler Dodge Jeep right there on North Valdosta Road. Go by and see them over at all my friends' equipment at Cass Birch Chevrolet and Cass Birch Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram inch equipment as well. 229-241-1059 is our number. Coming up in just a little bit, our resident NFL draft expert, Jimmy Espy, will be here. We'll be talking about some local guys who will be involved in the NFL draft, which will start next week, and also what may our beloved Atlanta Falcons do with the draft this year. We'll be talking to Jimmy about that momentarily. The NCAA also made some recruiting changes that are going to affect some prospects, and basically – this is all leading up to what I think is going to be the voting of an early signing period in football. Now, we have seen an early signing period in basketball for the last many years, but an early signing period in football, a lot of people have talked about it for a long time, and we don't have that yet. However, conference commissioners, and that's who's in charge of the signing period, they're expected to vote on a proposed mid-December early signing period at their meetings in June. And the chair of that committee says he thinks that's going to pass pretty easily. But here's the changes that the NCAA made. Basically, it says that prospects can take official visits from April the 1st of their junior year through the basically the last Sunday in June, or the Sunday before the last Wednesday in June. So basically the last Sunday. This is effective August the 1st, so it will not only affect, or the first group that it will affect will be the 2019 recruiting class. Also, this term, IAWP, Individuals Associated with Prospects. These are coaches or friends or whoever it is. They will not be allowed to take a paid or volunteer job at a college who's recruiting that coach's prospects. What that means is now you can still be hired on as a full-time coach. If you're the University of XYZ and you hire a high school coach full-time to be on your staff, an on-field coach, then yes, you can still recruit that player. What you can't do is hire them to be an advisor or some other, you know, gray area role, which just gets you access to that player. That will not be allowed anymore, and that's done a lot more than you think it would have been done. Also, it reduces when coaches can conduct camps. This is the Jim Harbaugh rule, from 2 15-day periods in June or July to 10 days in June. You'll have 10 days in June to do a camp, and that camp will have to take place on campus or at a facility used primarily for practice or competition. Like in Athens, or a lot of schools have a practice facility that's near campus but not on campus, one of those, either on campus or at one of their facilities. This will go into a place immediately, and this will end all the satellite camp tours. So Jim Harbaugh will not be having a satellite camp in Valdosta or anywhere else outside of Ann Arbor, Michigan. They're putting an end to that. It also will get away with oversigning or gray shirting. They've got a proposal which would limit the number of annual scholarships to 25. Some schools will use gray shirting to delay the enrollment of a prospect until the following January. So technically, that signing will be part of the next class. They're going to do away with that. And also, it will expand the summer dead period for the entire month of August from Monday and also from Monday before the last Wednesday in June through July 24. So basically, it's going to have the summers, basically, with the exception of a couple of weeks, is going to be a dead period for recruiting. They feel like within a and this is all setting up for the early signing period, which will be voted on in June, and I think it's going to pass. All right, 229-241-1059. We'll get time for a quick call before we have our draft expert on. Hello, caller. Good morning. How are you? Good evening. I'm sorry.
Good morning, Chris. How are you?
Doing fine. Old habits hard to break.
I hear you. I think I'm required to say that Tiffin is the greatest town of less than 50,000 people in Georgia. Is that the opening remark I have to say?
I didn't even know that was up for debate. I thought that was a given.
I like that. You're quick.
What's going on, man? For you.
I was watching, I think it's on Netflix, about a JUCO. Are you familiar with what I'm talking about? I don't know.
Oh, I love the show. Last Chance You.
Yes. Well, I'm at a loss. Explain some things to me, because I don't. This is places I'm lost. Number one, the coach is one of the nastiest talking people I've ever seen in my life.
Yes.
One day he loves you, one day he hates you. He doesn't seem to keep his eye on what's going on. His championship rings look like something Liberace would wear. They're the biggest championship rings I've ever seen. And third, and this part I really don't understand, is it's a town of 751 people. They have a stadium that holds 5,000. And the show I saw, they're bragging about how the 8 different uniforms they could wear.
Yep.
Where is all this money coming from?
Big-time donors, yeah. Last Chance You, by the way, if you've not seen it on Netflix, they did it last football season. They do have a second season, which will be coming out at the end of this summer. And Drew Jubera, who, of course, we know in Valdosta, is the author of Must Win, the book about Valdosta
yes,
football.
Yeah, he's
part of the narrator. This was his baby. This was his project, and I've talked to Drew about it. And, yeah, it's an amazing setup. Yeah, the coach, who I can't recall his name off the top of my head, it's not family-friendly viewing. It's
No.
he'll cut some a blue streak and say, all right, let's pray. Which is
and then he'll cuss them and say, like, you know, and I'm like, don't do blue. Don't do, but you're losers, you do blue. Then they say, well, look at the tape and it's okay if you do red. I'm thinking, I don't know what to follow. I mean, from one extreme to another, I don't know what you're supposed to do. But the thing that kind of throws me is they interview the students, and I'm going to be generous when I'm saying they're not quite dumb as dirt, but these are not bright people. I mean, they're going to classes and they're taking a class and they don't bother to show up to class and they don't bother to do papers. And I'm thinking, how are they making it to the next level? That's what throws me off.
And, yeah, you know what's bad when, and I'm not making this up and I'm not making fun of anybody, but when a show has to use subtitles and is filmed here in America, that's a problem.
Yes. Yes. There's no doubt about that. And the poor woman, I don't know what her name is, but she's like the main character. But you know, you didn't show up to class again today. You know, that's free. She tells you, you know, if you miss one more, no matter what, we have to kick you out of school. You know, I love you, but you just got to go to school. I'm thinking, why are we begging these people? I mean, this guy's like an ex-FSU player and this and that. And they all want to go to Division One. And one guy, you might probably remember the lineman or something, he had an offer from somebody. He said, I'm too good for you. And he wouldn't take the offer.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it just seemed to be kind of – they don't really seem like college material, I guess is what I'm saying. But there's just that much sponsors. I mean, I'm just astounded with the money that rolls in there. It just – and then they showed – and this really got me. They showed the – if he's the president of the university or ex-president, and he had 2 championship rings on his
finger.
These aren't silly rings. These are some serious rings. So.
As much as I love football, it's not necessarily a show that really promotes the atmosphere around college football because, like you said, there are a lot of, I mean, this poor woman, and I can't remember her name either, although Drew told me just a few weeks ago they're actually talking about doing a series just around her because she was such the popular figure on the show. But she's literally chasing these – college students down, do you have a pencil? Here's a pencil. Take this pencil. I'm like, I can't believe.
Yeah. The guy gets like a scholarship, and this is what he goes to the bookstore, and he gets some headphones.
Yeah.
He said, did you get pencils and notebook paper? He said, no, I don't need that. Really? You're in freaking college, and you don't want paper and pencil, and you buy headphones?
Oh, man. I mean,
again, I'm being kind of, these are really some stupid people. I just don't know how they, I just don't know how it does it, but if they can tax 5,000, again, 781 people, in the whole town with a pack 5,000, that's impressive.
Yeah, somebody's making some money out of it, that's for sure. So, season 2 coming to you. That's right.
All right.
Hey, good to hear from you, man. Thanks.
Take care now.
See you down. Bye-bye. Last Chance You. I got addicted to it. I can't wait the second season comes out. Again, as a football fan, it's not necessarily showing just the glamour of it. It shows the insanity of it as well. but it makes for awfully great viewing, I can promise you that. Jimmy Espy joins us next. We're going to be talking about the NFL draft. Josh Harvey Clemens, former Lion superstar. I think he will definitely be selected in the NFL draft coming up 1 week from this Thursday, I believe. We'll get Jimmy Espy's thoughts on it right after this. You're listening to the High School Football Report, presented by Cash Birch Automotive. We'll have more right after this.
And now, more of the High School Football Report, presented by Cass Birch Automotive. Here's Chris Beckham.
All right, back on this Monday night in the High School Football Report, presented by Cass Birch Automotive, as we broadcast live from the Citizens Community Bank studios. Thanks to our great friends at Citizens Community Bank, with locations in Hayhira, Morven, and two in Valdosta. Remember, they are kicking off their 90th year of service to all these communities, doing a lot of things online. Check them out on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter at hashtag CCBFind90Get90 or CCBTurns90. Social media scavenger hunts, ways for you to win. You win every day you bank at Citizens Community Bank. 1 week from Thursday, I believe it is, the NFL draft will kick off one more time. And as always, there's some South Georgia guys who I would say probably, not possibly, are going to be drafted, and but to find out that from the expert, we turn to our resident NFL draft expert, Jimmy Espy, joins us tonight. Jimmy, how are you?
Doing well, Chris.
Good to hear from you. It's your time of year, man. You, every year for over 20-something years, you break the draft down, you go through it, you comb through it, and I've heard in the past some draft pundits say that, you know, this year is a pretty good draft, and I would think that, you know, every year, if you're smart, can be a great draft.
Yeah, but a year like this year where there's a depth at a lot of positions kind of stands out. I don't think people were talking about this being a particularly good draft 6 months ago, even 3 months ago. It's really in the last, I think, 90 days that a lot of the people who follow the draft, a lot of the NFL guys are starting to talk about finding good players in the third, fourth, and fifth round. And I think it lacks a little star power at the top myself, but I think there are really good football players going to be drafted down in the fourth, fifth round.
Now, what changes that? Was that the combine or the all-star games? What kind of changes that opinion from DraftKings?
I think the combine, a lot of players are doing much better at the combine now. They're faster, they're stronger, and part of that is that they're being trained by professionals who they pay to get them ready for the combine. And mm-hmm. So guys are showing better and better physically every year. Also, the NFL has pushed the draft back and pushed the draft back now until there's just more time for guys to for draft analysts to fall in love with players. There's more time for people to research lesser known players. There's a lot of factors go into that. This year, I'm not really sure why it was such a late thing, but there definitely seems to be a groundswell idea that this is going to be a strong draft.
Well, I think it's going to be a fantastic draft just because Chris Berman is no longer doing the draft. But that's neither here nor there. That's a story for a different day. There's always some South Georgia guys, or at least guys with South Georgia roots, who are being looked at. And I think the top one this year is Josh Harvey Clemens, because I think for a couple of different reasons, Jimmy, but he has a kind of an unusual story because he is kind of a different kind of an athlete at a position that a lot of NFL teams covet. Big, tall guy, rangy, and there's been this certain trend. I know you and I talked about this off the air before, that, you know, this guy who plays maybe a strong safety or maybe an outside linebacker, and, you know, it kind of depends on what team, what their defensive scheme is, I guess, to whether or not he's that attractive or not.
You've seen some guys in the last few years that were thought of as college safeties. Deion Buchanan from Louisville, who's now playing for the Arizona Cardinals. And he was a safety, and most people talked about him being a safety right up until the draft. Well, right before the draft, the Cardinals said, you know, we may take a look at him at linebacker. Now, my favorite player to reference on this goes back a few years, but Georgia fans will remember when Thomas Davis was an outstanding safety for the Bulldogs. Mm-hmm. But he almost outgrew the position. He got bigger and stronger. And the Carolina Panthers decided, hey, we're going to make an outside linebacker out of him. And now you're talking about a Pro Bowl football player. He went from being a safety to an outside linebacker. I think that kind of had some teams looking in that direction. But a couple of years ago, the Buchanan kid really hit it big with the Cardinals. And last year you saw the Redskins take Suwa Cravens from USC. and did the same thing with him. I think they're going to move him back to safety this year, but they had him at inside linebacker, playing inside linebacker, this hybrid inside linebacker safety position. I think the idea is to get more speed on the field.
And again, when it comes to Harvey Clemmons, and there's a lot of draft talk or draft speak, I guess it is, where you hear these terms used by these analysts. And basically, when you read through all that, the idea that I get from Josh Harvey Clemmons is that he plays very fast. He plays kind of reckless. He doesn't mind. He's great against the run. Will come up and hit you. The downside of that is he can get himself out of coverage, out of position, and can be beaten, that kind of thing. And then so he's got some pluses or minuses, like every player does.
Yeah, he played the years at Georgia, and that's kind of, I hate to say it, but a kind of a classic thing with Georgia safeties. They tend to be big hitters, and they tend to get beat deep in coverage. And Clemmons, certainly that's happened to him in his career. He is physically just a remarkable prospect, a 6'4", 6'5", approximately well over 200 pounds. I think he's around 215, 220 pounds. Runs pretty well, not dazzling speed, but he runs pretty well. Of course, the problems with him, the questions with him, are some of the off-the-field issues that have come up. I mean, he basically got pushed out of the University of Georgia for off-the-field problems, including drug arrests. And that's good. There are teams who will mark him, will just red flag him. They won't draft him, or they won't draft him before the third or fourth round, purely for those reasons. And with the amount of money they're investing, you can understand that. They don't want a question mark like that on the roster. Talent-wise, he's really hard to judge. He's been all over the place. Where he's going to play, I think he may be a little too slow, or at least not real comfortable at safety. I think he could come up and play linebacker. I think he's got the body to support that kind of weight. He's a real mystery. I consider him one of the biggest mysteries of the draft. He could go, and I've heard him say this too, or he could go anywhere from the second or third round to not being drafted. Now, he's going to be drafted. I'd be shocked if he wasn't drafted. I'm thinking fourth, fifth, sixth round, something like that. But he really is a mystery. I don't think anybody has a good sense of where he's going to go.
I read an interview with Josh in the Louisville paper. I think it was over the weekend. It was or late last week. And he talked about it. He said, listen, that's the first thing people ask about. And I get it. I understand it. It was a dumb thing that I did. I owned up to it. He said, coming to Louisville was the best thing to happen to me to get a fresh start. He said, I've got my degree in December. He said he thinks that shows that he has matured as an adult. And they said, there's no way I can change the past. So I don't. I'm upfront about it. I'm honest about it. And that's, I mean, that's all you can do at this point. But having said that, he said, I saw a quote from an anonymous, I think it was an AFC scout, that said, I love him as an athlete and his toughness, but when you're a multiple-time drug tester on the college level, that worries me. And like you said, if you're going to invest that money, that's going to be something that obviously is going to hurt you. So.
Yeah, it certainly calls into question his judgment. You pull for a young man like that with all that talent, you pull for him, you hope things have straightened out. But time and time and time again, the NFL teams draft these guys, and it does happen again in the pros. And I think a lot of them have, if they don't, I don't think many guys say, hey, look, I'm not going to draft a kid because he got caught with marijuana. But I think there are teams who will say, I'm not going to draft him in this round or that round or that round.
Yeah.
If he's floating around late in the draft, there's a lot of teams that'll jump on him, is my belief.
Let's talk about some other guys from some area universities. Another, you talk about an intriguing guy like Josh Harvey Clemmons is, I think that same thing about Isaiah McKenzie from Georgia. He's a guy who's an explosive playmaker. He's been great in the return game. But, boy, when you're 5'7", and I know there's nothing you can do about being 5'7", but you're 5'7", that's a strike against you. How do you think about Isaiah McKenzie when it comes to his draft prospects?
You know, I'll tell you, he has been, for months, one of my great dark horse draft picks. I think he's a tremendously explosive talent. And can help a lot of teams. Now, you're not going to draft him with the idea of him being your number one wide receiver or your number two wide receiver. A lot of teams are going to question whether he's got the size and durability to be a number three wide receiver. But you put him on the football field and you stretch it, you're going to stretch a defense. If he, imagine him as the third or fourth wide receiver, with a good quarterback, with his deep speed, his reliability catching the football. I think he's I've been saying for a long time he's going to be a fifth-round pick. I think he might potentially creep up a little more than that. Now, I'll say this. NFL teams talk a lot of stuff about smaller players. They tend to back off come draft day. A lot of them tend to back off. So he may get pushed back down. But I think there may be a team that could get him in the certainly in the fifth round and maybe even late in the fourth round should jump on him. The big plus for him, too, is the return ability. He is a dynamite returner and should get better. And I think that adds a lot of value to him. Teams are going to draft him initially as a returner, and then see if they can develop him into a quality third or fourth receiver.
A guy who, like you say, you've kind of championed the cause of Isaiah McKenzie a little bit as a dark horse candidate. A guy who I like, and not just because he's a South Georgia guy, played at Camden County, then played for the Florida Gators. But Gerard Davis is a linebacker who I really think has got the makeup to be a good NFL football player. He had some injuries in his senior year, and that limited him a little bit there, but he was a very productive player at the University of Florida at linebacker. Size may be a bit of an issue, but what's your take on Gerard Davis?
Before the combine, before the workouts, he was looked at as probably a second to third round pick. After the combine, after people looked at more film on him, I think he is a very likely first round draft pick. I think a team, a classic 4-3 defensive team, like the Detroit Lions, where they're picking, I think Davis makes a lot of sense for them. The people at Florida, I've talked to people at Florida, they rave about him. The kind of kid he is. He can play inside linebacker. People think he can play outside linebacker in a 4-3. I think he's an inside linebacker at either 3-4 or a 4-3. He was a terrific special teams player at Florida, going all the way back to his freshman year. He was an outstanding special teams player. He's got good size. He's got good speed. He's not great speed. He's got good speed. He plays a lot faster. He plays a lot faster than he runs in the 40. I think he's a terrific player, and somebody's going to get a good pick.
Yeah, and he would always play. His pass coverage was almost it seemed like surprisingly good for a guy his size and in his position. He was good against the pass, which of course every NFL team likes to see that as well. And then of course you got some obvious guys. I was listening to there's been so much draft coverage, but I was listening to one of the draft experts talk about Dalvin Cook and saying that they thought he was the best player coming out. Now, he's not going to be drafted number one because teams draft for need and things like that, but certainly he's going to be obviously a first-round pick. And are you as high on Dalvin Cook as maybe some other people are?
He reminds me to some extent of Jamaal Charles. So I remember when Jamaal Charles came out, and another friend of mine who's in the draft works on draft. We both agreed that Jamaal Charles, we thought Jamaal Charles was a tremendous player. But if you look back in that draft, he dropped, and we could not understand why he dropped, and I'm still not sure of that one. He turned out to be, for several years, the best running back in the league. Tremendous talent. I think Dalvin Cook has some of those skills, but I do, some very similar skills. 5'10", 210 pounds, good speed, not blazing speed by NFL standards, but very good speed. But I do see, the red flags on him. Again, you've had multiple arrests that worries teams. And a team that might take you in the first round says, you know what, not in the first round. I'm going to take him in the second round. He's fumbled. He's had a fumbling problem at Florida State. And he's had multiple surgeries on his shoulder.
Mm-hmm.
So there's some issues. There's some issues with Dalvin Cook. All that said, if I'm an NFL general manager and I've got a pick from, I don't know, 12, 13, 14, anywhere along there, and he's on the board and I have any need at running back, I'm going to very strongly consider him.
Yeah, he's
and I think he could go. I think he could go at one time I thought he might go top 7 picks.
Mm-hmm.
Now I tend to think he's probably going to go between 15 and 25, but I do think he's a real serious talent and could have an impact in the NFL.
Jimmy Espy joining us tonight. He is our resident NFL draft expert. Another name that folks who, again, we talk about guys who are from South Georgia schools, just kind of keep an eye on, and he, I think, may be a late-round pick from Mitchell County High School and from Albany State University, Grover Stewart. He's about a 6'5", 295-pound defensive tackle. Again, anytime you play at Albany State or Valdosta State, for that matter, or wherever, there's always going to be the question about, playing against top-caliber competition, but he's, as a defensive tackle, was a great run stuffer and productive player at Albany State, and I think maybe late round he may get picked up by somebody, and hopefully so. Anytime you get a guy from South Georgia, we hope they just get a chance to play in the NFL. And, Jimmy, this time we had you on last year, and we were talking about a guy. Now we know how it all ended up we were talking about Malcolm Mitchell. I remember you said on this show, if somebody gives that guy a chance, they're going to get a steal in the late round. Well, lo and behold, what happened? The guy's the starter for the Super Bowl champion.
Smartest team in football, listen to me.
That's right. You had Bill Belichick's ear. But we obviously, I mean, and we said all along, if he just have a healthy year, he did have a preseason injury, but for the most part, a healthy year, and just turned out to be uber productive for the Patriots.
The Patriots love toughness and real toughness in a guy, the kind of guy that plays with an injury and tries to get back early. And Malcolm Mitchell did those things. I think his head coach, the organization, saw that in him. That's the kind of thing Bill Belichick loves. He wants that in all of his players. And that got Malcolm on the field. And let's face it, the Patriots aren't exactly loaded with stellar athletes at wide receiver. Danny Amendola, not exactly a burner. Edelman's is a fine wide receiver, but he's not. He's not a upper echelon wide receiver. And there was some need there for that team. They needed a guy to come through at wide receiver and give them that solid third, fourth target, and at times probably first and second target for a little while with Malcolm. And he did that. You know, he runs great routes and he catches the ball. Mm-hmm. And in that system, if you run good routes and you hold on to the ball, Tom Brady's going to get the ball to you.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
And that's why a guy like Malcolm Mitchell, a guy like Danny Amendola, these smaller, not quite as fast guys, they go to the Patriots and they catch anywhere from 40 to 80, 100 balls.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And that's, he, again, had a great year. And I think the whole, you know, the feel-good part about the off-field stuff, just as you talked about, has a detriment. Some of these guys we talked about earlier, you know, everybody knew about Malcolm's children's book. And I mean, it just makes for such a great story, and certainly he is.
Yeah.
He's living that, and as somebody who was on our show just a few weeks ago to talk about Malcolm Mitchell Day, which they were having here in Valdosta, and I was inviting everybody to come out. He said not so they could see me, so I could say thank you to them. I mean, that just kind of fits the Malcolm Mitchell profile. We're certainly glad he had the kind of season he did, as we are glad that we had the Atlanta Falcons had the kind of season that they did. As most people know, this year, WVGA became the home of the Falcons, and they went to the Super Bowl. I'm not trying to say nothing. I'm just saying. I mean, they joined our network, and we took them to the Super Bowl. Unfortunately, we couldn't get a win there, so as the Falcons turned their sights toward the NFL draft, Jimmy, it seems like with a lot of teams, maybe offensive line, is that their biggest concern?
No, I still think they're looking for another pass rusher.
Mm-hmm.
Beasley was just a revelation last year and made everybody feel a lot better. It just was, if you watch that team and saw the game where Beasley took over on the pass rush,
yeah.
I mean, it just makes a huge difference. But they can't, you know, if he gets injured or if teams are better prepared for him this year, and they will be, they're going to have to get pass rush from somebody else. I really think the big needs at the defensive end. Right now, they play that odd Seattle-style defense where they love at least one of the defensive ends is a big, enormous guy who's not really a pass rusher. In this case, right now, the depth chart says Rashid Hegeman's going to start an end. They're not going to get a big pass rush from him. So they have to get a pass rush from that other side, from that other end. Right now, it's Brooks Reed. Now, Brooks Reed played okay for the Falcons last year, but he doesn't scare anybody.
Mm-hmm.
And there's nobody, no young players on the roster right now. Adrian Claiborne's coming back from an injury. He's been a great addition to the team until he got hurt last year. He's still a good pass rusher, but he's an older player, and he's coming back from injury. So I think they have to focus on defensive end would be the number one spot.
They picked up that Jack Crawford guy for the Cowboys. Is he any good?
He is a primarily a run stopper. He's not going to give you a whole lot of pass rush on the inside. He never did for the Falcons. He's what they call now, is basically a rotation tackle.
Gotcha.
He's gonna get his snaps. He'll come out on the passing downs.
Yeah.
And Hegeman may slide inside, or Claiborne will come in off the bench and he'll probably rush from the inside. So you're going to see in today's NFL, if a defensive tackle can't rush the passer, he's only going to play one or two downs.
Yeah.
To invest a lot of money in a guy that you're going to take off the field on second down and nine doesn't seem to make a lot of sense. So I think they spent a little bit of free agent money at defensive tackle, and that sets them up to draft a defensive end.
There's pretty good depth am I right, in this year's draft at defensive end?
Yeah. Very good depth. I think the player is, unless there's a surprising run on defensive ends, and that can't happen. People love pass rushers. But they're not going to get a shot at Myles Garrett. He's going to be the first or second pick. Solomon Thomas from Stanford's going to be gone. Derek Barnett, I'd love to think Derek Barnett was going to slide down. He's not going to slide down. The kid from Tennessee, he's got tremendous pass rush potential. But there are some guys, because teams have other needs, there's some guys who in the past might have been the 15th, 18th player taken, who could slide down to the Falcons' spot. Taco Charles.
Oh, that's what I was going to mention. That's my favorite name of the draft. Taco. Come on. Got to get Taco.
Taco Charlton from Michigan has shown some things. Charles Harris from Missouri was a quality pass rusher for Missouri. And the guy I personally like a lot, and with him it's a question of health. Can he stay healthy? Is Carl Lawson from Auburn.
I think
he's a terrific football player, but there's a problem keeping him on the field the whole season. And that may be one of those factors. If the team's red flagging because of injury problems, you know, he may drop to the second round. But if he's sitting there and the Falcons have a shot at him at the end of the first round, I would be surprised if they didn't take him.
I don't know how much time he missed, but every time I saw Carl Lawson on the field, he was head slapping somebody. So, I mean, that guy can play.
He was in the backfield pretty much all night long.
Yeah, and I know.
He is that kind of talent. I think Charles Harris is along those lines, too. You don't go wrong too often taking SEC defensive line.
Yeah, that's true. And again, I know the offensive line, Alex Mack's getting a little up there. So I'm sure they'll be looking for offensive line help. And listen, after their secondary didn't look fantastic in the Super Bowl, so they maybe look for a safety something too. But
I think they love the kid that they drafted last year, the free safety. I don't think they're thrilled with Ricardo Allen. And again, I really think they're trying to recreate the vibe of the Seattle defense. And in that defense, you had two very, very talented Pro Bowl caliber safeties. And if they try to recreate that at safety, you could see a guy like I'll give you a dark horse candidate, a kid out of North Carolina State, Josh Jones, who I think is a talented safety, and he should be available. But there's some other guys at strong safety. Jamal Adams at LSU is a terrific talent, but he's not going to be there.
He's shot up.
Julius Peppers is interested from Michigan. You know, he returns kicks. He plays offense. He returns punts. He's played linebacker. He's played safety. He's another one of those hybrid guys we were talking about earlier. If teams weren't sold on him, as explosive as he was last year, if he were to fall, you could see the Falcons, and dare I say, even trade up maybe to pick the strong safety they want.
Buda Baker, another great name I've heard that they could possibly be interested in, the kid from Washington.
Buda Baker would not surprise me. And now that you mentioned him, I'll say Buda Baker could be a better pick at the Falcons spot than Josh Jones. I really like Buda Baker.
If they're trying to decide between Buda and Taco, I'm going to be happy either way. I'm just saying right now. So all about some colorful names. So of course,
you mentioned offensive line.
Yeah.
There's a guy I like named Dan Feeney out of Indiana, and the Falcons don't need help at tackle. I think they're pretty solid at tackle. Matthews, I don't think is quite the caliber that they were hoping for when they drafted him. But then again, on the other side of the line, Ryan Schrader has been a tremendous find.
My man.
For Atlanta. He to me, he's the best offensive lineman. 2 years ago was clearly the best offensive lineman on the team. And last year, he and Alex Gordon, the center, were at the top of the chart. I think Schrader's was a terrific find for the Falcons.
Go Blazers.
So it's offensive guard where they're looking for help. And I think Dan Feeney out of Indiana would be a nice pick for them.
Jimmy, as always, we appreciate it, my man. Thanks for the knowledge, and we'll be waiting to see what happens a week from this weekend.
All right, can I give you one more dark horse?
Go ahead. 10 seconds.
Just in case they're crazy on offense and they decide, hey, we're gonna roll the dice. David Njoku, tight end, Miami. He would be a monster weapon for them.
David Njoku, you heard it here first, folks. Espy, we appreciate it, man. Talk to you soon.
Talk to you later.
Folks, we'll see you next week right here on the High School Football Report. Have a fantastic week.